Well, I think it's appropriate. Y'all need Jesus Sunday. I think me and Eric ran into somebody this evening that he needed, and she needed Jesus like twice as much as everybody else. They all needed Jesus twice on this. Y'all need Jesus Sunday. Yeah, sometimes you just have to laugh, don't you? You're not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. When you don't feel well, you're not in the mood. Not in the mood for nobody's shenanigans, especially on Y'all Need Jesus Sunday. Coming up on a holiday week, kind of put some sugar in other people's tanks for them. And then some people just need a triple dose of sugar. I don't know. But where do we begin? It's a long, drawn out, over 24 hours. I've been sleeping on and off. Feel very loopy. Immunotherapy drugs for those who have, unfortunately, had to cross them, and what I look at it this way, fortunately, come across them. A lot of them, depending on your oncologist and specialist, like critical care doctors, can team up with research networks for the drugs that are not FDA approved, and that's where we get back to the right to try bill, which a lot of people do not know what the right to try bill. It was passed by President Obama, I think it was like last year or the beginning of this year. If you don't live in a state that doesn't give patients the right where they have come across in a terminal condition, whether it's cancer or another medical ailment, and they've exhausted all avenues of FDA regulated treatments or oncology treatments, and they find themselves in advanced part of their condition, advanced stage, it allows the doctors that have the right and the access to non-FDA drugs before they're in the trial phase to get a hold of those drugs. Obviously, they don't come without a slew of side effects, and you don't know, and they don't know, and your doctor's oncology, critical care, whoever is, excuse me, part of your care, are not sure what the side effects are. But when you're in a position, especially like I am right now, where your immune system is just pretty much depleted out, and you start just battling numerous things all at once, and you get hit, and I've not come to a point through this journey where I felt yesterday like I did, and it just hit me out of nowhere. And I wasn't, excuse me, I wasn't sure what was going on, but I got really, really sick. And I mean, I could barely get up off the couch. I didn't know what was wrong with me. So I decided I was going to, I don't like hospitals, I want to stay out of them, trying to stay the hell out of hospitals the rest of the year. I find myself at an urgent care facility and then have to go straight to the hospital. So it's like, what, pay an extra $40, to figure this all out. But of course, we had to cut across near the airport. If anybody is traveling and you go across the Greater Cincinnati Airport, driver beware. This is just a PSA announcement. They are doing some serious, excuse me, major construction around that loop. And they have no holds bar, are not prejudiced against the weekend of getting all the crew out, like 100 cars, and just bringing everybody in and doing construction. They brought it down to one lane. It was a horrible drive to get to the hospital last night. It was even worse coming home early this morning. Thought the construction would be over, it wasn't. Not feeling good. Was a drive from hell. So buyer beware, buyer beware, driver beware, PSA announcement. If you're shopping in that area, do not go near the 275 loop of Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana near the Greater Cincinnati Airport. It is a hot mess, and if you're flying this week, beware. Take yourself an extra hour and a half, 2 hours to get there, because literally, seriously, it is that backed up. It took us to get 2 miles down the road. Took us 40 minutes. Excuse me. And it was not a fun drive whatsoever. But find ourselves, this is just, I want to give another PSA holiday announcement. The holidays can bring out the living Scrooge on steroids out of some people. And then other people, it could bring out the nicest part of them possible, You're going to come across the really nice holiday people who are extra cheerful, and those are already nice and they're extra nice. And then you can get across some of these people who have literally took the new movie out the Scrooge and have taken it like seriously to like a whole nother level, but in human mode. I can't laugh, but it is funny. And you know, when you come across people that are snappy during the holidays, excuse me, we've learned this evening. I'm just gonna give this because it's like a PSA of how to handle it, how to handle people like that, because you can handle it like several different ways. It just depends, you know. When you're not feeling good, you feel like handling it one way, but really, you know, this is just PSA, you know, this is just how we handled it. So Eric goes and tries to pick up my prescription. We live in Indiana. Indiana is not a very good state when it comes to certain types of scheduled drugs. And understandably, Indiana has cracked down a lot on those who abuse narcotics and prescription drugs. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But I also think there's a flip side when people have conditions and they're going through a lot of pain and they're going through the end of the journey. And when you get so cracked down and so tight on scheduled narcotics, drugs, Schedule 3, or what, Schedule 1, Schedule 3, whatever it is. And then you have other drugs, which are Marinol, that I am back on, which is basically the main active ingredient, marijuana, which medical marijuana, Marinol, is like the active ingredient. And it helps patients, not just cancer patients, but other patients that are in, you know, where they have exhausted all possible avenues in that of the treatments. Excuse me. And, they need something stronger. And I think it's a shame when you crack down so hard and you keep cracking down and you get specialists who are just being told it's really bad, this is bad, this is bad. And medical marijuana, really, you know, I wasn't really a believer in it, but over the past 2.5 years, when I was introduced by oncology, and the big guns, the big guys at oncology groups, you know, the ones that lead the whole, you know, the whole group, I was, you know, given the option of Marinol and educate on Marinol, and it worked. Marinol worked for me. And it's not how people think of medical marijuana, where you light it up, you smoke it, and you get this crazy high. And Marinol is really not like that. It's not that kind of high, but what it does do is when, like in my situation, you're not hungry, you have no appetite, you're nauseated, you're going through a lot of pain. It doesn't really help the pain, but it helps the nerve receptors that cause the pain, that cause the nausea. And make you feel like you just have no appetite. It helps basically s just calm everything down, the nerves, and just make it to where you're able to eat and not have the nausea in that. Fortunately, living in Indiana, I've come across that 99.9% of specialists, whether that's oncology, critical care, other specialists, do not believe in Marinol. They don't believe in medical marijuana. And they treat it like it's just a horrible option for patients. And I think that's really unfortunate. And I don't agree with it. Excuse me. I'm lucky. I'm lucky for doctors and specialists that I now have in Kentucky. I have Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana now. My specialists reside, different specialists in three different states, depending. Everybody has their job and my health care. So we had to cross the Kentucky border last night and this morning because that's where I had to go for my care. And then, just a long story short, without getting technical stuff and just boring things that people just maybe not understand, but medical terminology is just boring. Immunotherapy, drugs, when you talk about your platelets, when you talk about red cells, white cells, and all that, and when your immune system just like zonks out. And gets depleted, you end up in an emergency state where time is of essence. And I'm fortunate that doctors that have my records and for the Lucy system, which connects people from state to state with your medical records, and doctors recognizing when things are critical and needs to be taken care of, and having the option and having the drugs and having the capability with different hospitals in different states. So, long story short, a slow drip to help boost my immune system, to help the good cells, and that took a long time until early this morning. Got released, back on some meds at home, some really strong. Some of the drugs we picked up today, not FDA approved. So you're going to have the side effects, and it is what it is. You know, the goal is to get over this hurdle and the hump right now so I can have better days ahead. And whatever it takes and the side effects, I will deal with it. And I have, and I'll just hit it head on. But we go into the Foesgiving. Eric said, here's an appropriate title for this audio, the first Foesgiving invitation. I think I'm going to literally, I told Eric, I'm going to make some Foesgiving invitations and I'm going to keep them in my purse. So when I run across people that we did today, this evening at Walgreens, 24-hour Walgreens, I'm going to give it to them. And then I'm going to walk away and either I'm going to sing, I'm going to whistle, have a holly jolly Christmas, or I'm going to start singing if it's a Sunday, Y'all Need Jesus Sunday. I'm going to start singing Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I want to laugh right now. I really do. But I really, if you think I'm just joking, I plan on doing this. You know, the old me, when you're not feeling well and you run into one of these people that are not happy around the holidays and you know they're not, and you, the old part of you, the old side of you just wants to, when somebody snaps at you, I mean, reaction for anyone, you know, anyone's going to become defensive. That's normal emotion, normal response. People do it, it happens. How you do it is a whole other thing. Don't do it the wrong way. Don't get stupid. People that carry concealed guns and have permits, don't go getting arrogant and go like you're out in the old West and taking your pistol and, you know, whipping it around your finger. You know, you've grown, evolved, matured, and you're a different part of your life. When I've come across the first Foesgiving invite with Eric, and he goes to pick up my prescription across state lines, and Kentucky is another state where some of these drugs, like Marinol and some other drugs, the person that's prescribed has to be present to pick up the prescription, which means your driver's license also has to be valid and you have to show it. So Eric comes back home, got to go up there. I'm like, you gotta be joking me. I'm like, all right, 25 minutes up, 25 minutes back. I'm not in the mood. I just want to relax. I really do. I just want to get over this hurdle. The further I stay away from outside, especially with this weather getting warmer next week, crazy 60s. And, you know, people starting with the flu around here. It's already started 2 weeks ago. And dealing with the holiday crankiness. I'm not saying everybody's cranky on holidays, but you have certain people out there we ran across. I just don't really deal with it. So I had to go get the medicine. I had no other choice. I go up there and, you know, figure I might as well get my Mucinex. You know, whatever I need over the counter, I'll pick that up. So we have like a cart, and I'm just like, hey, just get a cart. Just let me like hold onto the cart, and let's just kind of just push me through. I want to get the hell out of here. So we're in the aisle where the Mucinex is at, and you have this lady and guy, you know, probably, I don't know, in their 30s. I don't know. I'm not good with age, guessing. So the guy's pushing the cart. He looks tired. Lady's like on her phone texting, and I don't know what she's doing, but I don't know. Maybe they had a sick kid at home. Who knows? And that's the thing during the holidays, folks. And even after the holidays and before the holidays, you never know what somebody's battling. You never know what someone's life is and what it's like and what they're going through. And maybe they're going through hard times of struggling. And you know, emotions run high in some people, and we all have those high emotions. We all have them sometime in our life. And then we learn to become mature adults. To be mature and not act out of emotion and act like a teenager and act, you know, we all have a little bit of stupid in us. We all do. So, I had already said once, excuse me, because we were in that aisle and I was reaching over trying to find this Mucinex and know where it was at. And, you know, the guy didn't say anything, which is no big deal. I was nice and said, excuse me. And then, I got the wife. I don't know what she's saying at the point. So Eric's trying to find on one side of the aisle. I'm trying to find another. And excuse me, make a long story short. Come at the end of the aisle, and there's another couple coming with the cart. And then you got these people in front of me, and we're behind them. And the husband pulls the cart to the side so I could pass. And I said, excuse. I said, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm not joking. His wife literally looked up from her phone, started walking. Came up next to him and said, if some people weren't gonna run my ass over, maybe I could have got to the other side. And looked and said it so loud and looked at me. And I'm thinking to myself, are you flipping serious? Like, really? Are you serious right now? I think I was in shock. Eric's in shock. Her husband was just like, I think he was a little taken back. She said that because obviously he heard me say I'm sorry twice and excuse me. I do believe in morals and manners, and I think we all should use them out in public. I think you should teach your kids good morals and manners at a young age, and continue while they're in their adulthood. Somebody, is a cart in front of me, I say excuse me, please, thank you. I use the manners, so I think we all need to start using them. But then to have this lady snap at me for no good reason. The old me would have snapped back. Oh, I would have snapped back. Would have. Oh, but the new me, who is just like, I look at people like that differently now because I've been there, done that. I've dealt with plenty of people who have done things that are just not within their character, should not be within their character, very immature decisions. And I'm not saying me and Eric have not done our fair share of stupidity, but when you do stupid things and immature things and you act, I wouldn't say politically correct, but not in the best mode, you learn, you're supposed to learn, evolve, and grow. And it's not should you have a duty and responsibility as an adult, regardless how old you are, to not work off your emotions. And when you catch yourself doing it, step yourself back, say, okay, why am I about ready to act like this? Is that really the way to act? Probably not. Okay. Probably not. It gets back into the get your skeletons out of the closet. Anything you've done wrong to somebody and you know it's wrong and you know it's not right, you know it's out of spite, anger, hurt, frustration, whatever you're feeling, okay? Nobody says you don't have a right to feel that way. But don't respond in your actions. Don't lie. Don't lie. Don't create things. Don't be fictional. Superman, leave those characters, Hulk Hogan and that. Leave it to the comics. Do good and hold your emotions, because when you learn to hold your emotions and respond differently, that truly shows a sign of maturity and that you've grown and evolved as a person. And my response was not a normal response. And Eric's like, wow, it normally is not how you respond. And I'm just like, well, I haven't responded normally to people like this, like I used to in a while. And that's just like, I felt very proud of myself because I've changed. And I've been through enough with people who have worked off of their emotions and done really horrible things while being on an emotional high. And I've learned through good counseling that doesn't make it right, but I don't have to be and follow that path of other people either. So instead of snapping back, which would have been a positive thing, I just looked at the lady and I said, excuse me, I'm sorry. I said I was sorry. I'm not being sarcastic. I just said, excuse me. I was being polite. And her look was just not, I don't think she was expecting that. And the couple trying to get through was like, wow. Like, I guess they were expecting me to just go, you know what? You can, because we do, we do have a rental car. And how appropriate they put a Jersey plate. I could have got straight up gangster ghetto Jersey. I could have been like, I could have put like a Guido spin on it. I could have put a Jersey Shore. It's Jersey Shore. But yeah, I could have just went all out. I thought to myself, I'm older, I've grown, I've matured, I've learned through experiences. This lady, in back of my mind, I'm thinking, must have something or struggle or something really going in her life wrong or has been hard, or maybe she has a child that's really sick home. I don't know. But does it make her right to have the attitude and go snapping at somebody like me? No, it doesn't. But I believe the good Lord plants me sometimes in situations for people like this to say or act a way towards me and for me to respond the right way. So, as I've learned through years of counseling, to respond back to someone who's responding wrong and doing it in a right way helps so that person doesn't act that way towards the next person and it stops the pattern. It really does. It's kind of like not enabling people. When people have things going on in their life, like drug addicts, when you enable a drug addict, enabling a drug addict is, patting them on the back and, oh, it's okay. You just, there's certain things, and I know it's, There's drug addiction, there's alcoholism. I mean, it's like taking somebody to a bar that has an alcohol problem. You know, I believe the enabler is worse than the person that has the addiction. And that's the God honest truth. There's people who have gambling problems. There's people who are, like I said, alcoholics, drug addicts, food addictions, you know. You become the enabler and you don't stop the pattern and you don't do it in a manner that is mature, that's not immature. I think it speaks volumes. I don't think this woman expected me to have the response I did. I was being God honest. I was being very polite. And I'm thinking to myself, the question is, and my tone is, what's wrong with being polite? I mean, I guess she didn't want somebody polite. So I don't know. I just told Eric and I, how I feel now. She's just gone through something. She obviously has something on her life. We all don't know the person next to us who is a stranger, really, in all rights. We don't know what they're battling. We don't know their journey. We don't know their hard times or what they're going through. So I think like a PSA announcement, public service announcement to you, and even you listening and everybody else, and pass it on. During this holiday season, watch how you respond to people, whether it's Black Friday shopping and all these ridiculously excessive, crazy, ridiculous sales. And I'm just going to say that because you can find better sales. And trust me, I know you can find better sales the week to a week and a half before Christmas than you will on Black Friday. Black Friday is just, building a bigger pocket for the money and, for all these companies and corporations. And I think it's just, and some people get into it and that's great. You're entitled to, but I'm entitled to my opinion as well. And I think you have to go through some really hard struggles that affect your life in order to come to realize what's really important in life. And shopping for excess stuff and things that really, in the end, mean nothing of your life. At the end of life, they really mean nothing. Trust me, I'm saying they don't. I think we all need to start a society where Christmas is about thinking of the heart. And using your hands, meaning baking someone something, creating something for someone, and doing it with your heart and taking the time that it takes. And when you're younger, you think when elders say, I'd rather have something made or baked, and you think, yeah, right, just saying that. They probably just think I don't have the money, whatever. No, really, it is. It's more about the giving and the heart that's behind it and the time. I mean, how hard is it, folks, really, to buy a pair of socks, throw it in a box, and wrap that sucker, okay? Is there thought behind it? Not really. It's a gift. But what's the difference of making someone a little storage tote or container or a drawer or something to put the socks in, or maybe like some kind of different holder or insert organizer that goes over the door to put the socks. Do you see my point? That's just how I feel during the holidays. I feel it's more about giving and thinking with the heart. I also believe the holidays are it's the most perfect. Christmas is the most perfect holiday to look at your skeletons that you have left in your closet and look at the way that sometimes you have thought with your emotions and have done things that you know aren't you. I always tell Eric, everyone has a conscience. I don't care who you are, who's listening, who's downloading this, who's subscribing, who's passing it on. I don't care if you're from India, Australia, Switzerland, China, Japan, United States, what other countries that are now subscribing, and you guys are listeners. Thank you for listening. And you're translating it over. I don't care who you are. Everyone has a conscience at the end of the day. You have a subconscious. You are conscious of your actions and what you're doing. And you may not be while you're doing it, when you're thinking high off emotions, but subconsciously, when you go to bed at night, you think about some things that you've done, right? Talking to you. You've thought about what you've done and you know it's not right. But you keep allowing yourself to keep doing it and or keep holding on to the decision you made, and you're holding on to it, and you swear for the rest of your life, you swear on your grave, you're going to hold on to it. Now, I have a question. Is that really? What good is that serving you? What good is it serving you? You keep those skeletons in the closet. You made the decisions high off your emotions. You know it's not right. Isn't the holiday season the best time of all to free yourself? What a gift, the most selfless gift you can give yourself is to free yourself. And when you make bad choices and bad decisions because of your emotions, and we all do it, I've done it, Eric's done it. You know, me and Eric have freed ourselves in our closet. I don't have any skeletons anymore. And for those who wish I did, I'm sorry to let you know, I don't. And if I did and I'm missing one, please shoot me an email, let me know. You know, I believe in apologies and I believe it's sincerely done the first time, sincere. Not a million times, first time sincere. But really ask yourself, when you're going out and you're buying gifts and you're buying gifts and you're buying gifts and you're spending money and you're going to have like 50,000 gifts underneath the tree because that's cool, you know. When you go to give a gift to yourself, why not get a gift for yourself that you can't buy in the stores? And that's the gift of forgiving yourself, freeing yourself from decisions that you've made off of emotions that may have been hurtful, they may have been wrong, they may have been devious, whatever situation. Everybody has emotions, we're all entitled, everybody makes stupid choices, everybody has a little bit of idiot in them, stupidity in them, we all do it. But you know, maybe I'm in a different part of my journey to where, you know, everybody has a subconscious and everybody consciously makes decisions that sometimes are not good decisions. I think it's good to make good while you're here on Earth and to correct the things that you've done wrong while you're on Earth. And especially, good Lord, life is short. I've had, you know what, two or three friends along the journey of my life that have passed away over this past couple years. I still question, how did I outlive them? I have no idea. I should have been me first. But you know, there's a reason, and I believe the good Lord decides to call those home first before others, and maybe my job of what he needs me to do is not finished. And that's the only thing I can think of. I have no other explanation for it. But I do believe in freeing yourself, which is part of this podcast blog. Free yourself, my journey, your journey, our journey, because everybody has a journey. But you know, this Christmas, you know, just a PSA, public service announcement. Not only watch the traffic, take yourself a couple extra hours when you're traveling to visit friends, loved ones. Give yourself the greatest gift that cannot be bought with your wallet. You'll never find it in the store. You're never going to find it online. It is the most rarest gift of all. And that's peace. Bringing peace to yourself and your life. And clearing your slate. And learning to apologize and making things right. You know, it's so easy to hate. It's so easy to have hatred. It's so easy to work high off your emotions. It's so easy to make decisions that are not good decisions and you know they're not. But you ask yourself at the end of the day, if it's Christmas, why are you still gifting yourself that hatred and those decisions? Why not unwrap them, throw it away, and make good, make peace while you're still here, while everyone's still here? You know, make the world a better place. And by all means, folks, when you run into people like I have at Walgreens, just mind your own P's and Q's, somebody's having a bad day, and they just snap. We've all done it. We've all been her. We've all snapped. I've done it. You've done it. Eric's done it. We all done it. Stop. Think. Before you react, and make sure what comes out of your mouth is good. And if that means, hey, I'm just apologizing. I said I was sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. I did apologize. I'm sorry. You know, that person had no response. They were shocked because the husband heard me say, excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse me, three times. You know, some people want you to have that response. Negative response. hostile response. Won't you be different this year, this holiday season? And don't act like that. Just don't. Take the gift, the greatest gift that you'll ever give yourself, and that's to free yourself. And make sure when you run across people, make sure you have the those giving invitations in your purse and in your hand and your wallet, guys, because I've got mine together, and there's always that first person to invite to foes giving. What's foes giving about? It's bringing your foes or people that don't like you, and then you sit around at the table, you all eat, and at the end of the day, what did Hank say? You forgive yourself and everybody goes your ways. And forgiving yourself means things that you say and do that probably weren't in the best of light or decision or going through emotions. And by all means, be a little bit kinder, softer to everyone when you're out this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, before Christmas, because you never know what someone is battling. And it doesn't have to be medical, it could be anything. You never know what someone's going through behind the scenes. And when you're next to a stranger, just remember that when somebody gets snappy, because you just never know. And by all means, don't forget, folks, this year, give yourself something, a gift that'll last for the rest of your lifetime, and free yourself.